The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back to the show. 1 hour in the books already. Jerome Solomon subbing in for Freddie Fowler.
Who's up in the Canadian wastelands.
Little nippy up there. He says it's only 18 degrees today.
And he missed the bad stuff.
Yeah. Well, last time he was there, he said it was minus 25. So, yeah. I could not live in a place where it gets minus something.
Of course you couldn't. Your people can't deal with that.
That's not funny.
I mean, skinny people.
I don't have the meat.
You don't have enough meat on you to live up there. Yeah. That's what I meant. What do you think I meant? I meant thin people don't do well in Canada.
I know which one of my people you're talking about. No, I got it. Black people are easy to spot in the snow.
That's true.
When we die, froze to death. No, not. Have you gone skiing?
Yeah.
Are you a skier?
Yeah. I used to live in northern New Mexico.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I'd go up there to Colorado every once in a while and ski and snowboard. My knees don't allow for that anymore.
How many knee surgeries have you had?
Three? Huh? Too many.
Where are you at now? What can you do? What can you not do that you used to be able to do?
I don't play basketball anymore. I probably could, but it's just, it's not worth the risk to me. Yeah. But I still trained to fight every day. That stuff doesn't bother me as much. Mm-hmm. But anything with like quick cuts and things like that is tough on me. Skiing, I wouldn't be able to do. Even like water skiing is tough. Like I've tried to get down and do that.
That's another thing.
That's not
my
easy.
People don't do.
Water ski?
Yeah. Skinny people.
Skinny people don't like that. It's actually easier for skinny people, I think. But
why?
It's because you don't have as much weight to pull up out of the water.
The wind
knocks you
flying around. Dude, I'm gonna tie some sticks onto my feet and get on top of the water.
Yeah,
that don't make no damn sense.
No, it doesn't.
There's a good boat right there.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm a little iffy on some of those boats.
I was gonna say black people typically don't like boats
because there's
anyway.
Water around boats. You know.
Yeah,
I can swim. I mean, like I ain't gonna save nobody.
But you can save you can swim well enough to save yourself.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's all you need.
That's my goal would be survival. Yeah. Swimming is not an exercise. It's a life saving technique. Save yourself from drowning. You're talking about the Rockets. That real quick thing. Well, the Luka guy going off for 11 straight points. That's where Trevor Ariza would have stepped in.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen.
You just think he would have been able to do something there. Yeah.
Aristotle on Twitter, he's a huge Rockets fan. He always tells me I'm going to be wrong and I'm always right. Like when I said they couldn't beat the Warriors, and he
you're just always negative.
He was wrong. He says horrible take talking about Ariza Luke again. And I told him, listen, it's not. I'm not saying that they should have signed those two guys.
Yeah.
Because like I said, well, I mean, the money Ariza got.
I think they
should have signed Bamute. Yeah. The money they saved by not signing Ariza. I mean, that was I wouldn't have signed him for that either.
Right.
But I also would have tried to do a better job replacing what those two guys did.
Right.
And that it almost seemed like they weren't worried about it at all. Like they thought adding more offense, which has turned out to even not. I mean, the team's worse offensively than it was a year ago.
I didn't have as much of a problem with them signing Carmelo Anthony,
mm-hmm.
except that guy isn't. Let me start that over. If they were gonna sign Carmelo Anthony, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. If they were signing Carmelo Anthony from 5 or 6 years ago, and a lot of people would be dogging that guy, but that guy could have helped this team.
Yeah,
that guy is gone.
Yeah, he's a show.
So I don't know what they were even thinking they were going to get.
And then another problem, and that's it's not necessarily their fault, is that Eric Gordon is starting to
he's taking a year off.
He's starting to turn into a pumpkin.
Yeah,
and you know that happens.
You know, and Chris Paul is really up and down.
Yeah, and his health is always going to be a question mark. You know, one bad step and Chris Paul's season could be over. And that's part when you sign Chris Paul, you know that's part of the risk is this guy's not playing 75 games.
Yeah, you're not going to get a full compliment.
Yeah.
And Gerald Green.
Another
his,
guy.
His pumpkin is – I mean, that's what I'm saying. Last year, that was the fluke maybe.
Maybe so.
It was an incredible one, a serious run, and every move that D'Antoni made worked.
Like even James. Maybe last year's James – that's not what – James Harden is. This is maybe what James Harden is.
Because that guy was one of the best players darn near in history.
Right.
Now, and we knew he wasn't going to be able to do that over
this year's James Harden is good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's great. 30 points a game is great. What he was last year was maybe that was he played a little bit over his head.
Yeah. I just saw a thing from Basketball Reference a few minutes ago that, you know, Harden's averaging 30 again.
Yeah.
And the only people in the last, I don't know, 40 years or something who's done – averaged over 30 in two seasons. Jordan, Durant, Iverson, and someone else. I have to find it. But, yeah, it's a short list.
Yeah.
And that tells you what.
It's
you
probably know. Like Will Chamberlain or somebody like that.
It didn't go back that far. In the last 30 years.
Oh, okay.
Kobe.
Okay.
Kobe and LeBron. Yeah, Kobe, LeBron, KD, Iverson, and Jordan.
Pretty good list.
So, yeah, and that's James Harden is on that list. That tells you the kind of player he is. He's not as good as any of those.
Right.
But hey, right behind him, I take that.
If you're in that next group, that ain't a bad group to be in.
Not at all. He makes a lot more money than all those guys.
Oh, yep. Well, except LeBron.
He actually makes more than LeBron from the NBA.
From the NBA. Okay. All right. I'll give him that one.
It's a good life.
Hard times.
Yesterday was trying to tell me, man, I wouldn't want to be any athlete in Houston other than Bregman right now. I'm like, I'll take Harden. Bregman's making in the hundreds.
Harden still
Fred Fowler makes more money than Bregman does.
Harden still got charges?
We'll be back in a minute. In a
lion's den. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
Welcome back into the show. 713-780-ESPN is your number. No Fred today. Jerome Solomon's subbing in. Catch us on Twitter. AJ's going back and forth with someone over there. He's at AJ is the Real.
Yeah, you remember when I told you this guy he loves the Rockets and he's always wrong and I'm always right? Here, his last tweet is a perfect example. Harden over Curry all day, every day.
Every day.
That's what he says.
All day.
All day, every day.
Well, that's cool because the games are played at night.
You can have them during the daytime?
Yeah, during the daytime.
What about Christmas? Sometimes they play those day games on Christmas.
The Warriors play night games.
Yeah, that's true.
Rockets okay. usually get one of those early ones.
Okay.
When they get a game on Christmas.
You'll take Curry when the light, like, you know, once, he's maybe Curry's like a vampire.
The finals are all at night.
Yeah. Every finals game is at night.
The playoff games are all at night. Those games that James didn't show up for against the Spurs.
Those were at night.
Night.
That was a night game. Yeah.
And yeah, it wasn't last night. I'm a hardened guy, but come on.
I think maybe because Steph Curry now that Kevin Durant's there, people forget what that guy is.
And haven't they seen the Warriors record this year when Curry didn't play?
He's what makes that engine go.
Yeah. Kevin Durant is extremely unique. I'm not saying he's not a unique player, but there is no Curry except Curry. I mean, there aren't even good, bad knockoffs of him. I mean, the kid, the rookie with the Hawks, you know, and they're like, he can be a Curry. Like, no.
Trae Young?
Yeah, Trae Young.
No, he can't. I mean, you know how good you have to be a Curry? that's what makes the when people were trying to say LeBron isn't Jordan or couldn't be Kobe and all that, is like, well, you know how good you have to be that, and then LeBron turns out to be that good. Yeah. You can argue now whether he's got your guy or not, but he's so good
that there's a discussion to be had,
right? You know how good you have to be in a discussion with Curry.
You know who from shooting standpoint goes. The only guy in the discussion who can even like lay a claim to being in the same room as that guy is Klay Thompson. He's on the same team.
Right. Yeah. And Thompson is nowhere near the player. I think he's vastly overrated.
Oh, see, I don't. Because I think he's an excellent defender, too. That's where he is better than Steph.
He can play some defense, but he never has the pressure of having to deliver.
No. He's never the man.
Yeah, I just think that you get away with too much when you don't have to. You don't have to show up every night, and nobody's going to criticize you when you don't.
By the way, we just talked about James averaging 30 points per game right now.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry, 29.6 points per game now.
He's no Harden.
He's no Harden.
He might be shooting a little bit higher percentage.
I'm guessing that's a higher percentage.
Just a tad, I would think.
I mean,
Harden was the in the efficiency rating. He was number one last year.
And this year.
That was the year he had. No, not this year. He's down to like ninth or something this year. He's still good, but that year last year was just off the charts.
Let's also keep in mind that what's crazy about, here's a couple crazy numbers about Steph. One, do you know what Steph Curry shoots from 3-point range?
Let's say 44.
How about 50%? 50%.
Well, he didn't shoot that many.
Oh, no. Ten and a half attempts per game. He's hitting 50% of them.
But they're wide open.
That must be it.
Because he's dribbling and losing.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
But that's what's crazy about Steph scoring. He's at 29.6 points per game. What's crazy about it is Kevin Durant's got 29.1. You know, Klay Thompson's got 22.6. These are guys who they're complementing each other. Right. Everybody, that's what I've always said makes the Warriors special. Mm-hmm. Everybody on that team makes everybody else better. I've never felt that way about the Rockets with James Harden.
Well, they have a natural fit. Too.
Yeah,
I mean they're in sequence.
Last year when James Harden had all these assists and everybody was like, oh, look at him, he's sharing the ball. It just never felt like James Harden was worried about making the whole thing better.
I think you've been a little hard on him there.
Maybe I am.
And it's the style of play. If you're Steph Curry, your assists look better because you're passing to Klay Thompson.
Right.
And he had nothing but bottoms. You're passing to you know, Durant, who's, you know, ridiculous. And you're James Harden, you're passing to Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
That's not the same kind of assist. It's the same 3 points.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look as good. If you pass out to Klay Thompson in the corner versus to Trevor Ariza. I mean, yeah, it's aesthetically, and that's the thing. The Warriors, not only do they pay great team defense. They play good individual defense across the board. Curry's probably the weakest one. They play smart basketball. They play fast.
But they also
they
have
move it. They hustle.
Yeah.
They do everything.
And they have guys who, I mean, guys like Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green. It's not really a big deal if they don't put up big numbers. Those guys are just there to work. And which PJ Tucker is kind of the same mold of a guy. Although, again, going back to maybe last year was the aberration. PJ Tucker looked like a world beater last year, and this year he looks kind of like PJ Tucker.
And he looked great against the Warriors.
Right.
I mean, he was better than Draymond Green in that playoff series.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody thinks he's better than Draymond Green.
Nobody does.
Except for Mike D'Antoni.
I don't even think Mike D'Antoni thinks that.
He loves him some P.J. Tucker.
Now. He probably does.
But P.J. delivered him something last year, so you know, yeah. He fell in love with him. But and I like P.J., but no, he's not in that class of a player. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN is your number.
And you know what? You know why I'm an idiot? We're even this. I got worked into even comparing the Rockets to the Warriors this season, which is
here we go again.
it's completely.
It was fine to have that discussion last year when the Rockets had the best record in the league.
Right now, we shouldn't even be talking about that. We should be saying,
look at the standings. Who should we be? What do we compare the Rockets to?
Let's talk
the Suns.
I don't want to do Suns because I think they dominate the Suns. But let's talk Kings. How about that? Kings Rockets. Man, let's discuss the merits of that. If those two were to,
if that's going to be the discussion, the Rockets are not going to be talked about this season.
That's why, Jong. This is probably the most Rockets we've talked all year, right? I mean,
yes, it is. They're not worthy of discussion.
They're not.
That's the sad thing.
A team that was damn near in the NBA Finals last year, and had they got there, probably would have won an NBA title.
Had the MVP. You didn't even argue against that, did you?
No.
And as much as anti-James as you are, you were like,
I didn't argue it last year.
Give that guy the trophy.
I argued it the other years where he didn't win and everybody threw a fit that he didn't win. Well, Russell Westbrook sucked. Yeah, Russell Westbrook really sucked that year. Steph Curry. I mean, this last season, I don't think there was much debate to be had. The only guy I think that warranted consideration was LeBron James. And, of course, you could make the argument for him every single year.
They wouldn't be wrong. Yeah.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about my computer career. Here's a graduate who used to work at a Quickie Mart, and he couldn't get out of that job quick enough. He was such a great student, they hired him as a mentor. And since their program's designed for people with no IT experience, they support their students with one-on-one mentoring. If you don't jump out of bed every day excited for work, go to mycomputercareer.edu and take their free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years. If you don't have computer experience or training, no problem. Helping people start an IT career is what they do. And it's more than a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes are starting up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Coach, Rock on the field on that last play, you anticipate a Hail Mary. Is his job on that play is what, as far as Rock on the field?
They could throw it deeper. They could run the desperado type play, which was kind of like in between 20-yard pass, and then turn into desperado.
My man Bill Belichick there.
He's always got so much insight.
Full detailed breakdown of the that final play. Why Gronk was out there?
We just weren't able to get there in time. We had to do a better job of getting there.
Could have been something in between.
How do you line it deep?
What do you think of him? When were you there, Jerome? More than 10 years ago, right? Yeah.
When they won their third Super Bowl, I was there.
So he was a genius by then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And he continued to be one. He has continued to be one. His mistakes are more obvious because we're so shocked by them. I still think he makes fewer than most.
I think he makes some mistakes personnel-wise. I'm not a big fan of head coach being in charge of personnel, personally. I think it's two different things. It's too hard.
I think his mistakes that he makes personnel-wise that gets overlooked is he gets applauded for managing the cap, but those mistakes that you make in being too tight on the cap cost you wins, too. I mean, and they've had times where they just is like, you need to have a better player out there than that.
Right.
And you let him go because you didn't want to give him a few more dollars.
Part of what masks that is that Brady has worked for so cheap for so long that if Brady were commanding what.
Yeah, he never tried to break the bank. If
he made what the top quarterbacks in the league made, which is what he should have made for almost his entire career.
What does he make now?
I think he's like the 10th or 12th highest paid quarterback.
Isn't he always, though? Isn't he kind of...
He gets
his money. I think he gets it in signing bonus, and then it doesn't hit them cap-wise as much. Like, he still gets paid.
Yeah, he's not...
But he doesn't get paid like...
They're smart with it.
He doesn't get paid like the top guys in the league.
Remember when Peyton Manning took all that money and left Indianapolis? Well, at first is Indianapolis. Yeah, it was Indianapolis. They were at a point where they just couldn't... Like, they were losing guys, and Polian didn't put the right pieces together after that from a draft standpoint. And I want to say he did the same thing.
Lost Edgerrin James? Like, they couldn't...
They couldn't afford him. I mean, these quarterbacks who say they want to win at some point, I don't know. It's a tricky situation. I mean, but if you really want to win...
Nothing worse than to give the money back, and then y'all don't win.
Yeah,
that
I know.
Would be stupid.
Well, I think you just have to be willing to be smart with how it's structured. That's all.
He's 21st.
And that's what Brady's been. You know, he's
21st
been
highest paid quarterback?
He's the 21st.
No. 21st.
This season.
So that means he hasn't had his contract redone in like 4 years, probably.
I guess that's
a base salary.
Yeah, that's the base. Yeah, the signing bonus from whatever he signed carries over. I'm sure he goes up a little higher than that. But like I say, I think it was a mistake to put Gronk out there on that play. It's 69 yards out. I mean, you don't need somebody to knock the ball down. You need people to make a tackle.
Even if they
throw the Hail Mary, you just need the play to be tackled.
Yeah, it was dumb. That was an unusually... ill-conceived. I mean, you'd be better off with Cordarrell Patterson, who has special teams background out there. And I don't think he was. I don't know. Maybe he was out there.
Josh Gordon would have been better.
Either one of those guys would be.
They put them back there before, too. Actually.
I think they have. I don't know if
Gordon was in there like the first game he played. He was in there in that situation, if I recall.
The knockdown thing is one thing, but to tackle, I think Patterson could do that. I don't know if Josh Gordon's a tackler or not. I know Gronk has no lateral movement, as we saw.
Yeah.
I mean, boy, that looked rough yesterday.
Yeah, he's falling apart. What's your take on the Texans? And this Lance Zierlein, I'm sure you guys know the voice already. Anyway, joining us here on the Blitz. Overall,
it looked like a team that came out, you know, that they've been coasting here. Well, it depends on how you view this. If you want to take a cynical approach, which is, I'm not necessarily saying it's inaccurate, you could say, this is what happens when you face a good quarterback. You've been lucky enough not to face a good quarterback, and you can't just play one half of football like you did against Cleveland and one half here and one half there. I mean, they put it all together against, obviously, Tennessee, and they've had some good games, but I think they got beat by a team that's just more consistent. The Indianapolis Colts aren't as talented as the Texans, but they're more consistent.
Yeah, I don't think the Colts are that good.
You know,
they're not bad.
They play hard.
Really good team.
They consistently show up for Frank Reich. I think, and clearly the defense coordinator really had did a great job with scheming against the Texans.
Yeah, they were doing some twists up there and some last second shifts and getting they got guys free runs up there against that offensive line. And that's the thing, when the Texans offense isn't running the ball, then you put a little pressure on them to have to throw in long yarded situations, and my thought is Bill O'Brien is such a conservative coach, and that's great when you're running the ball for the way they've been running it for the most part. But when they're not, his defense is too good in his mind for him to just open it up and go crazy. And he probably shouldn't. I'm not saying he should, but you're gonna have to beat some of the teams that they're gonna play. You're not walking to a game against the Patriots, the Chiefs, Chargers possibly even, and say, well, we know if we get to 24 points, we can win this. I'm like, not you might get lucky, but that's probably not going to be the case. Right?
I figured out something yesterday. It was just became more obvious. It's the Texans. If you go back and look at the game logs, look at the game logs for Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. and you look at passing attempts versus end result of the game.
Yeah,
when they're running a football and they're playing ahead of the chains, mm-hmm. and they are able to have a little bit more freedom about what they're going to do on second down and third down. It's just substantially better. And Deshaun, I think when you ask him to win games with his arm right now, he's not at that stage of his career to do that consistently. And so when you put him behind the chains and you make him it's not a sitting duck, but you put him in a situation where the defense knows where he's going to be, right. you're going to get some exotic blitz packages like you talked about, and you're going to get looks that confuse him. And he was slow to process and decide where he wanted to go with the ball. And I think that's why it's important right now that at this stage of his career, you have got to keep him through running the football and through some creative play calling. And some of it's just on Deshaun. Moving the pocket is a big
one. They didn't do that at all yesterday. That's kind of hadn't been in their game
at all
in the last few
years. You know, they don't boot action anymore with him because I think everyone just is what they do on the backside is they attack Deshaun. They don't rush down the line.
They don't buy the fake.
No, they say if you see a play action, I want you to go right for the quarterback because we're going to hit him as hard as we can if we can. But I think right now you can't be in a situation.
Lung chasing.
Yeah, yeah, and you can't throw it 33 times with Deshaun right now and consistently win games. I think there will be a time you can.
But see, I think he'll turn it over a couple times. But when he was doing that last year, he wasn't even ready yet, didn't know as much. But the reason he had to do that was because the defense was so bad.
Right.
They were going up and down the field. And
Will Fuller made a big difference.
Without Will Fuller, he didn't.
He didn't trust
Demaryius
Thomas.
People can talk about him holding the ball. I'm watching it from way up top. There's nowhere to go with it. I mean, he probably should throw a couple of those away, but he's trying to make a play, and nobody's
so
open.
Four of his five sacks came over 4 seconds on the clock, according to Next Gen Stats. That's a ton of time to hang on the ball.
Completions came after 4 seconds?
I don't know. That's fair.
What I'm saying.
Yeah,
so
no,
he
he's going to
have a lot of plays off of those.
He's going to have those, yeah. But when he can take one of those sacks turns into throwing with anticipation, because I saw one where Jordan Akins broke in and was open.
He's
you could see there was no
open if you
there was no inside leverage, so you got to recognize the coverage and throw, you know, to the anticipate. If he can eliminate one of those sacks by throwing with anticipation, two of them by throwing away, well, then 5 sacks becomes 2, and he's in a lot better situation. But he's not unlike Ben I remember my dad, who coached Ben Roethlisberger and won a Super Bowl, you know, was a pain in the ass to try to block for Ben Roethlisberger as an offensive line coach. But he also helped my dad get a Super Bowl. But he had a lot of sleepless nights having to deal with Roethlisberger taking so many sacks.
He's going to stand there as long as he had to.
And we had my dad on early in the season talking about some of the Texans games, and he said, man, when you watch Watson, he does a lot of the same stuff Ben did. But he meant that as a positive, too.
He has too much confidence. I mean, he just stands. There are times where you're like, you'd almost want him to be one of those running quarterbacks. Dude, tuck and run. There's a lot of room. But he's like, I'm just chilling. They can't tackle me.
There's a balance between what happened at in the Dallas game where he got his chest caved in, and then, you know, what he's doing now, which is maybe too much pocket for too long. I agree with you. Well, the worst decision, and this is not the same player at all, but the worst decision that Cordell Stewart made when he was one of the original dual threat quarterbacks was he wanted to prove everyone that he could win from the pocket, and he limited what he was really truly great at. Deshaun, I don't want him to be a running quarterback, but I do want him to be a scrambling quarterback that moves the chains with his feet and threatens defenses. And I don't think he's done that much lately.
I think while it's easy to throw all the blame on the offense because the offense wasn't spectacular yesterday.
Did you like that defense? Did you like the job on T.Y. Hilton?
No.
Oh.
No. And that was my point was, you know, at the beginning of the show, Jerome's like, this team's, you know, they're so good on defense that they want to control the ball. But I said, man, are we convinced the Texans are really good on defense? Because the three best quarterbacks they faced was Tom Brady, who lit them up. Andrew Luck twice lit them up both times. Mm-hmm. The next best quarterback that they've seen this entire season.
Let me guess. Is it Dak?
It's either Dak or Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Baker, I don't count Baker's yardage as lighting him up because Baker was getting it handed to him in the first half. And
they backed off.
Yeah, but, I mean, but
the good numbers they put up have been against Nate Peterman.
Oh, look at us. We beat up Nate Peterman and Brock Osweiler.
I think that's very fair. You know, to be honest with you, I don't know. I know that they're not great on the back end. I know they got some pretty talented safeties. I know J.J. can't really run anymore, and he was the only guy. You know this from watching forever. The only guy they would match on T.Y. Hilton forever was it had to be Jonathan Joseph because it is never going to be Kareem. Right. He can't run. And Colvin is not even playing anymore.
They tried all of
and
them
Sharice
yesterday.
Wright and J.J. just can't run the same way he used to. He's getting older. I got to the point watching that game where I realized they're probably going to have to make corner the number one priority, not tackle. That's it's going to have to be corner.
I mean, well, or they believe
Kevin Johnson.
They believe Kevin Johnson will come back and be useful.
And be okay. Well.
And no, I didn't break it down, and I haven't even rewatched it again. Did the Texans not blitz very much, or not use any extravagant blitzes?
No,
it doesn't seem like they were.
No, they didn't blitz a whole lot. No, they didn't blitz a whole lot, and I think some of that was Frank Reich just did a good job of spacing them out and making their maybe threatening linebackers that they had to play in space, and they did a good job of I think scheming. You know, Frank Reich's
Duke and coach.
Man, you look at what's happened with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, and Reich was. I know Peterson got a lot of the praise, but Frank Reich was right there working with Carson Wentz as well and was heavily involved in the offense, and their offense hasn't been the same since he's gone, and Andrew Luck has gone just bonkers since he's gone, and they beat the Texans. Yeah, T.Y. Hilton, but Zach Pascal, I mean, that's just a guy. They got tight ends who Eric Ebron is just murdering the league right now with Andrew Luck at quarterback.
Well, Andrew Luck's he's statistically on pace for the best season of his career, which is unbelievable to think about. You know, when you started the season, everybody was like, "Oh, I don't know."
What do you think his yards per attempt are? If you had to guess, I mean, a ton of touchdowns.
I would guess 6.5.
Wow, that's awfully low. Yeah, but I think that's actually where, believe it or not, Jerome.
Well, we talked about it. Everything's like
ballpark.
Yeah, it's actually. I think John brought it up this morning. It's under 7. I think he said, which seems incredible to me. I'm just used to
everything's dings and
dunks. If you're not in the 8-9 category, you're not doing any damage.
Yesterday was an aberration because T.Y. Hilton was just running free. Yeah. But most of the games that Andrew Luck's played this year, I was telling him at the beginning of the show, most of his passes are 12 yards and in, and then letting receivers do work, or just, they hold. It's like a ball control offense that's 70% pass, which was to my point. Why can't the Texans do that when the running game's not going?
Yeah.
Why can't, I mean, if Ryan Griffin, who was eating yesterday, Jordan Akins, Thomas, these guys, every ball that got thrown to them, they caught. Why not throw it to him more?
And that is one where I think Deshaun just doesn't trust. I think right now he's in love with Hopkins, as you can imagine.
Yeah, but he's looking hard for. There were a couple plays where
it was forced.
He wasn't even thinking of looking anywhere, and nobody was open. But he didn't even bother to look.
Notice that when he gets going, the best offensive performance I've seen them have was the Titans, and Demaryius Thomas had 2 touchdowns. Yeah. That's not Hopkins.
Now let's not forget too.
Well, that is kind of Hopkins.
His favorite receiver is Kiki, and without him out there yesterday, because he gets the most targets when he's on the field, but when he's out there, Deshaun,
how do we know? Kiki's barely here.
Here's what we can agree on:
the few times he's been out there, that's who he's been slinging through.
When Will Fuller was healthy, Will Fuller would always have big games.
He trusts Will
because defense
drops and he trusts him.
Defense is focused so hard on taking away DeAndre as best they can.
Yeah.
That you've got to go to something else.
Will Fuller makes them. I mean, Will Fuller seriously turns. He is the third. He is the third click in the safe, because when Will Fuller's on the field, it's a whole different deal.
You have to honor him.
It's a whole different deal. It opens up running game. Deshaun trusts him. He takes deep shots. Safeties have to back off, and it provides more room for Hopkins to work. It's going to provide a lot more room for QT. If they could keep QT and Will Fuller healthy, which right now would seem like a miracle the way it's going. Yeah. We're talking about this. Yeah, because QT, what he allowed them to do is do the college stuff. Quick hits. Boom, boom, boom,
and
extended
and,
running
and
plays.
And that gets your rhythm going.
That's a rhythm. Yeah. It's a rhythm mechanism. And they don't have that. And Joe Webb, they were in a position where Joe Webb was the guy.
Was on the field, yeah.
How
desperate are you? But Bill O'Brien loves his tight ends. He's got three of them.
That's what I don't get.
Why are you going to a guy who clearly doesn't practice?
And I saw the question was asked. Were you in a press conference yesterday?
No, I didn't. I
didn't did you hear O'Brien's salty answer about
the is that the best question you've got?
We got to ask better questions than this. We got to do better than this. But somebody asked a question today I thought was a good one. Like, could Jordan Akins, you know, with Bill O'Brien, people like to dance around questions for fear of getting in trouble. But one of them was about Jordan Akins being a receiver. Could he play receiver in a pinch? And I think
he played it in college.
That was the issue. People were thinking, it's got to be better than Joe Webb, right?
Yeah.
You're the third quarterback. Why didn't they run Brandon Wheaton out there? That'd have been nice. Nice and terrible.
And they would go back to their training camp when they didn't do all the things that they needed to do to prepare for the season. So I bet you Jordan Akins is not taking any snaps at receiver. So, that is one thing that Belichick does. He puts guys in all over positions.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you'll need it.
Well, you never know when you can throw somebody off guard because they're not used to seeing it either.
Yeah. I mean, Gronk lines up as a receiver more often than he does as a tight end anymore. I mean, that's that's almost just his position.
Gronk's just such a freak show, man. Isn't it weird that you see lateral? So, you know, I do all the draft stuff now, so I think in terms of, okay, lateral agility, Gronk was
a zero.
Reject level. Yeah. But then when you get him running straight downhill, I mean,
the load.
He's a serious load, and he has a sneaky separation speed, too, when he's in a straight line. It's just that athletic ability to work it, you know, with agility. It's just, it looks rough right now for Gronk. I wonder how much longer he's going to play.
But you know what? He had two touchdowns yesterday.
Yeah,
he's still unstoppable.
Yeah,
he's just not the greatest of all time anymore. But he's still unstoppable. Yeah.
But, you know,
but he hurts. His body is hurting, and he's
out there wearing a damn suit of armor.
he's wearing Craig Biggio's.
He looks. Armor he's making JJ look like he's carrying a light load.
He and JJ, that is like JJ and Bizarro JJ.
They look like battle bots.
I know, it looks like the good guy and the bad guy. This is the one who drinks the milk and, you know, is respectful of your daughter, and this one isn't.
Well, come on, what about the Tide Pods commercial?
No, that's a perfect example.
He didn't eat one Tide Pod in the whole commercial. Yeah, I thought
it was impressive.
What do you mean Gronk's not respectful of people's daughters?
Well, I'm just saying that's what it seems like. You know,
porno chicks have parents too.
Is he respectful of them? I don't know. I just assume he does bad things. I mean, I'm not saying without consent. I'm just saying bad things. Like,
I'm just let you go. Gronk's
that guy
you sit around thinking about what Gronk's doing.
JJ's on a a bus with the troops, and he's on the bang bus.
So before we get you out of here. What's the – I mean, obviously the Texans, it would have been nice to have that win yesterday because the Patriots lost. But what's the ideal first-round opponent as far as all these wild card teams that are looking to get in? And who are – if you're the Texans, who are you saying – because it's clearly not the Colts.
No, it's
– Is it the Ravens?
Yeah, it's the Ravens.
It's probably the Dolphins, that's not realistic.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson versus Romeo Crennel is not a great matchup for Lamar. But, you know, he does have that. He has that wild card with his feet. So that's a little scary. You don't want to see Andrew Luck again. You don't want to see Phillip Rivers. I mean, it's. I think everyone would rather see the rookie quarterback.
Well, the good news, it looks, I mean, with the Steelers blowing games too, it looks like they're almost locked into a three seed if they're not the two seed. So
yeah,
they're likely to avoid the Chargers, which I think is that's
critical.
Nobody wants to be the four seed because you're going to have to play a team that's as good as a two seed.
That to me, the Chargers are the real wild card in the AFC because with no Kareem Hunt and now the rookie. Well, I call him rookie. I mean, it's first-year starter in Pat Mahomes. They don't have a good defense. I just kind of feel like the Chargers, that one team that can maybe start to – they got a good quarterback. They've got a running back. They've got some pass rushers. They've got a couple of diverse – they got a diverse wide receiver crew. That's a tricky team right there that could end up having enough pieces to challenge – a team that may have peaked a little early in Kansas City.
Yeah, the problem is they play them Thursday.
Yeah,
in Kansas City, road team. Those Thursday games
not great.
I will say this about the Chargers: road team, schmo team. It's not like they have a home field advantage anyway. I mean, wherever the Chargers are playing is a road game.
No, but anybody traveling on Thursday night is just up against.
It's tough. But you remember when they went and got Peyton Manning in Denver on that Thursday night game where. That's where Phil had the first time he busted out the bolo that I saw on national TV. And they beat Denver in Denver when Denver was like this unstoppable force. And that was really an eye-opener about the mental toughness, even then, of Phillip Rivers to me, who I think is one of the most underrated quarterbacks. I mean,
they're only a game back.
Yeah, that's why I think that's why I bet against.
They're just a game back.
They're 10-3.
Game back. Yeah.
How in the world are they? They're 10-3 right now, and they had a bad loss to Denver.
Denver.
Oh, what a terrible loss that was. 10-3.
I bet against the Chargers this week, even against sorry-ass Cincinnati, because they were coming off that Steelers game. The Chargers were.
Pancake game.
And then look ahead sandwich game. Yeah, look ahead to the Chiefs. And, I mean, maybe you can argue that the Chiefs, that's maybe why the Chiefs looked rough against the Ravens. But I just think the Ravens are a problematic matchup for them.
They're a rough team. Rough defense.
Because, they're not going to let you score 50 points.
Nah.
And then having a running quarterback proved again problematic for the Chiefs.
You've seen these defenses? They always say running games and defense win in December. Because teams start to weather can be a factor. Teams start to fatigue a little bit. Injuries start to mount. I tell you, what happened with Chicago and the Rams was an eye opener to me because that was like, wow, maybe this cold weather and defense thing is an issue.
Romney Cornell getting to see what the Ravens did to the Chiefs,
it helps.
That won't hurt the Texans at all if they get to that point.
Now he's really, I mean, Romeo's just. Boy, he's so much better. And I know there was injuries and all that stuff. But the difference between last year and this year, man, it is night and day.
Yeah, they play smarter football. They're in the right position. And when they are beat, it's because J.J. can't run and Sharice Wright shouldn't be out there.
But that's not scheme. That's just personnel issues.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Good talking to you again, Jerome.
Good luck with those Ole Miss receivers.
Yeah, I'm all finished. I just got to write up
break down
DK Metcalf, and I'll be all finished.
Enjoy your semi-vacation.
All right, thanks.
Oh, Lance, you got to tell people about the.
Wait a minute before I go.
Tell people about your meats.
What about Traeger Wood Pellet Grills? I'm going to focus on Pits and Spits for a second because I always tell you about Traeger. It's what I started with at Green Mountain. Traeger's not it can be a starter grill, but it's also a last grill you want to own, that type as well. When it comes to the wood pellet grills, which I'm a big proponent of, and I had to fade all the, you're not doing it right, you're blah, blah, yeah, whatever. I'll set my temperature and I'll get, the brisket and the ribs and everything to turn out perfectly because I'm not having to worry about if the heat's going to stay where it needs to. And that's what these wood pellet grills from Texas Star Grill Shop can do for you. They're never going to be undersold. They're always going to have the most competitive prices for any of those wood pellet grills. And they have Weber gas grills. They have the Kamado Joe ceramic cookers. I mean, they have every type of grill you can imagine. But that Pits and Spits, a local maker and fabricator and creator of some amazing grills over the years, they have gotten into the wood pellet grill game as well. And man, it is heavy duty and impressive, really impressive. If you want to take your barbecuing to the next level, go to Texas Star Grill Shop. They have meats they have meat at cost there, which is phenomenal. Trim for you, ready to go. But they also have the best marinades, seasonings, rubs, and all the grilling accessories for any Christmas gift that you could possibly, want to give to that barbecue aficionado. It's TexasStarGrillShop.com. Luetta, it's in Spring off Luetta and the other location, 2045 Southwest Freeway, right there at Shepherd, 59 and Shepherd. It's TexasStarGrillShop.com.
Is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.